This is Matins with Khanya Ditabe and Colin York.
And she said, today I'm being grateful just for being a woman. So great indeed. In fact, that's the editorial for this coming Sunday, the Southern Cross, how we should mark Women's Day as we celebrate Women's Month. And so to discuss this with us on the line is Gunther. Gunther.
Good morning, Khanya.
How are you, Gunther?
I'm very well. As I always say, it's Friday, so I'm looking forward to the weekend.
Now, if I'm listening to you for the first time, and I think the Southern Cross, what is the Southern Cross? What would you say to me?
The Southern Cross is the national Catholic newspaper. It's been published throughout South Africa and even neighboring countries. It's a newspaper that has been in existence since 1920, so it has been very much part of the life of the Catholic Church for almost half of its existence. This year, of course, we've been celebrating the 200th anniversary of the Church being established in South Africa, and the Southern Cross has been accompanying the Church on that journey for almost half of that time.
So there you go. Now you know, if you didn't know. And you talk about, Women's Day and how we should mark Women's Day in your editorial for this coming Sunday.
Indeed. One thing that there's always a bit of a bugbear when I'm watching TV or if I page through newspapers are adverts and commercials that are aimed at Women's Day that suggest that the way to honor women is to send them a bunch of roses or get them a box of chocolates or something like that. And that is not what Women's Day is all about. You know, you can do that on Mother's Day, or indeed you can do it any day in the year. You always have to value the people in your life. But Women's Day is about the emancipation of women. It is about the empowerment of women. And that is something that we've got to keep our eyes on. So if we really want to do something as men, if we really want to do something meaningful for Women's Day, well, let's not bother too much about the breakfast in bed. And, you can do it anyway. But the most important thing is to review what is the status of women in society. You know, how empowered are they? Some women, of course, are very empowered, and at the same time, they earn less in the workplace than men do. You know, all these things we need to talk about, we need to have a dialogue about, and we have got to advocate about if we are serious about the emancipation and the liberation of women. Making a breakfast in bed and then expect to do the washing up later on, that doesn't cut it.
Of course, yes. And then with page 7, the famous page 7, that's my question to you, and that's, I think, what Michael Shackleton answers. Must we still fast, Gunther, before Eucharist?
Oh, we do have to fast before the Eucharist. The fast before the Eucharist used to be much, much longer than it is now. Now the fast has been reduced after 1964, when Pope Paul brought in the one-hour fast before receiving the Eucharist, which, of course, makes things much easier for people. So, you can have your breakfast and then you wait an hour before you go to Mass, and your Eucharistic fast is satisfied. But that is really a matter of practicality. Ever since the Saturday night Mass was introduced, the idea really was that if you went to Mass in the morning, you would fast from the night before. You'd have breakfast, basically, before you go to Mass. And as Michael Shackleton explains in his article, which explains it much, much more in detail than I am explaining it, but what he is saying is that, of course, the old Eucharistic fast, that is still the ideal way to go. Just because the rules are saying one thing, it doesn't mean that we don't have to take an even better route.
The Mustard Seeds with Sara Lee Pimentel. In fact, she starts, she's looking at women with mission led by Mary. And she starts by saying, recently I read that men are more likely to apply for jobs, even when they meet only 60% of the requirements, while women are unlikely to apply unless they meet all of the criteria.
Yes, that's why I prefer to employ women, because they're more honest when they apply for jobs. I don't think it's a conscious decision when I make employment decisions, but well, as it happens, all the editorial staff other than myself are women. So maybe that's got something to do with it. I did not know about that statistic, to be honest with you. But it's a very interesting article that she is writing. And of course, it speaks as well to the Women's Day holiday coming up this week. And Sarah is making the point that, well, we do have an example of a woman making her own choices, her own decisions in Mary, in the Annunciation, when God proposed an offer to her through the archangel. And Mary, well, she had the choice to say, well, no, sorry, but what you're proposing seems rather weird, and I don't want to have anything to do with it. But instead she said, I will do it. And that was her choice. It was not a choice that was forced upon her. And that's a point that that Sarah Leah is making.
And then page 2, Bishop Victor Palana, speaking to the Presbyterians, basically saying that he has learned a lot from them.
Yes, I think that is a wonderful thing that, you know, we Catholics now, in the last 50 years or so, have been in dialogue with members of other Christian churches. And here we had Bishop Victor Palana, who is, of course, the Bishop of Klerksdorp, but he is also the head of ecumenical affairs at the Bishop's Conference. And he was addressing the Presbyterians about what he has learned from them. And that is such a huge change from the way things were 50 years ago. You know, there are still some Catholics who do not like the whole idea of ecumenism, but you know, Christ's command is that we must be one. And even if we don't have structural unity, we certainly have many things that give us common purpose and common beliefs. And that is something that he was telling the Presbyterians. He's also, of course, on the front page. Bishop Victor has been very busy. He's also been explaining to us when non-Catholics may receive communion and vice versa. When Catholics may receive communion in other churches. And, well, we cannot receive communion in Protestant churches. We are allowed to receive communion from Orthodox churches. But then the Orthodox churches might say, we don't really want you to receive our communion. So it's all very, very complicated. And there are sometimes when Protestants can receive Catholic communion. And that is something that we explain on this article on our front page this week, and next week we're going to have even more detail about that. It's a very important issue now that the Germans are discussing about spouses, non-Catholic spouses, receiving communion in the Catholic Church. So it is a big issue, and the South African Church actually has dealt with it far longer ago than the Germans have, which is quite surprising.
What you're telling me, Gunther, is that the Southern Cross is not only about news, but it's also about teaching in a way.
Absolutely. I think that people who read the Southern Cross are going to be informed about the church. They will know what's going on, and they don't have to go to the parish priest and ask for questions, which sometimes the parish priest himself doesn't know. If we know about our faith, we can live our faith better. And if you read the Southern Cross and you listen to Radio Veritas and you read Catholic books, if you absorb the Catholic, not just the Catholic teaching, but also the Catholic spirit, you're going to be a much better Catholic for it.
And then, of course, you mentioned that Radio Veritas and the Southern Cross, there's Spotlight Africa, there's MAFM, there's, you know, so many, Trefoil, there's so many, there's Monk Media, there's Merrin Hill Mission Press, all these Catholic media. And in fact, that's that famous letter of Father Russell Pollitt in this week's Southern Cross in Letters to the Editor, where he basically talks about Catholic media.
Yes, Father Russell, of course, is responding to the editorial that we published a few weeks ago, and a subsequent letter by Patrick Shamley. And I was very pleased to see Archbishop Brislin at
the
plenary of the Bishops' Conference, yes, responding to the editorial in the Southern Cross and saying, yes, we do have to work more on media than we have before as bishops, and we need to have a media strategy. And I was very pleased to see that there is at last some collective interest. Well, I hope it's going to translate into collective interest from the bishops. I was very pleased to see that. And of course, I was very pleased to see that, the SACBC is taking the Southern Cross seriously enough to respond to our editorial and clearly also to what Father Russell wrote in his letter, in which he goes into some detail and also calls, and this is important for you and for me and other people in Catholic media, he's also calling us to introspect whether we are getting everything right or, well, we can't get everything right, but whether we're on the right path, and that is always a good reminder as well that we must also be aware that there's always room for improvement.
And then, Gunther, of course, next Monday, the 6th of August, it's the Feast of Transfiguration, and that's the question that's answered at least in part on page 10 of the Southern Cross.
Yes, it's a reflection by Father Ralph Dahan, who is, of course, one of the great homilists that we have in the South African Church. He's a priest of the Archdiocese of Cape Town. And he's reflecting on the Transfiguration, what it means. I mean, the Transfiguration is one of the most, how can you say, weirdest events in the Gospel. Peter and who was with him? Was it John? No, it wasn't John. Andrew on the mountain. Peter couldn't understand what's going on, and he said, well, shall I build some tents? And Jesus must have been thinking, no, Peter, you're missing the point here. And, of course, it's very easy for us to miss the point. If Peter didn't get the point, then it's very difficult for us to get the point. So Father Dahan is trying to tease out what the Transfiguration means. It's still a very difficult thing to understand, but he's got a very nice way of making us aware of what was it all about, why did it happen. And on the same page, we also have a little description of the place where it happened, on Mount Tabor. And that is going to give us some sort of physical relationship with the site of the Transfiguration.
And of course, Gunther Simmermacher has been to Mount Tabor not once, not twice, not three times.
Many times. I've sort of lost count, but it's always wonderful to be up there, and which is what Peter said, and the whole Holy Land, of course, it is a marvelous place. You know, where you walk, where Jesus walked, where you see what Jesus saw when he's on the Sea of Galilee or on Mount Tabor, and you look around, it looks very much like what Jesus saw. It is quite a stunning place.
So, Gunther, that's how we end it this Friday for this week's Sunday Southern Cross. You tell me again how to get the Southern Cross if I'm not receiving it already.
We can never say it often enough. Parishes often sell the Southern Cross. Most parishes in the country sell the Southern Cross. If your parish doesn't sell the Southern Cross, speak to your parish priest or your PPC chair and ask them why not. And if there aren't enough Southern Crosses left over, speak to them as well and say, listen, increase your order. It is very easy to do so. The parishes can form the Southern Cross, as well as individual. If you as an individual want to subscribe to the physical edition of the Southern Cross or the digital edition, which looks exactly the same as the printed issue, and you can read that on your phone or in your tab or on your computer, you can get hold of the Southern Cross. The person to speak to is Michelle. And her email address is subscriptions@scross.co.za. And the phone number is 021-465-5007. And if you did not get all those details, you can go on our website and look for the subscriptions tab. And all the information is there as well. The website, of course, is www.scross.co.za.
And that's Gunther Simmermacher, editor of the Southern Cross. Gunther, we speak again next Friday or as something big happens.
Indeed. I'm looking forward to it. Have a lovely weekend and God bless you.
And God bless you too.
Matins with Khanya Ditabe and Colin York.